pictures in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watching for Jesus program today. My name is Thomas Gamble, as it is every day. Oh, that was clever, wasn't it? My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program. Today, I'm going to show you some connections about how they're controlling the mind. I'd think that'd be of interest of some kind. I mean, I did a show on the children, how they control the children. And, you know, I like to do little things like that, you know, every now and then to gets a program that I would think somebody's interested in. Of course, nowadays you just never know because people start running away, man. Start running away. Try to find the easy way out. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, family. The truth sometimes does hurt. Sometimes the truth is something hard to take. Well, that don't change the fact it's the truth. Whether it's hard to take or otherwise. It is what it is. And sometimes you got to face the truth. I'm going to talk about that today. And how the Bible is coming true from men that wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit when they didn't have computers. It didn't even have a telegraph, you know. And word of mouth? And no, hardly even that. And yet, they said the same thing. How's that happen? And it's documented this way. King James Bible is the only true word of God. It's as simple as that. But this Bible is way more than that. It predicted what's going to happen today. Technology predicted then. And they had no idea what they were writing. They just wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They had no idea. They didn't say, well, Lord, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to write it. They didn't do that. Daniel didn't do it. Ezekiel. Jeremiah. They did as they were told. Matter of fact, God told them to shut up the book. Daniel said, shut up the book. I'm going to tell you something to write down, pretty much, he said. Then you write it down, but shut it up, because nobody now is going to understand it till the time comes. The Bible is written for us today. By men as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. Righteous men. How many of them? 40. How many books? 66. How long a period? 1,600 years. Some of them never even knew each other. In a 1,000-year period, they never knew each other. They didn't even read the things, yet they almost have word for word. How'd that happen? Well, that's not necessarily the course of subject of today. Although tonight, we'll talk about some misconceptions about the end times events. It's really going around hard. They're hitting my Facebook, which is no problem. If I give them a benefit of the doubt, and over a period of a short period of time, that I've determined that they are, as you say, as people say, shills or plants and all that sort of thing, when they obviously just don't check out some of the evidence or the scriptures you give them, I realize they're a plant or they're a shill or they're some kind of COINTELPRO or whatever. I simply ban them, you know, block them, just like they do me, you know, and on we go. They're hitting hard this past week or 2 weeks about what the first seal to the seventh seal to the first trumpet, the seventh trumpet. Man, they're really hitting it hard with all kinds of nonsense about what the seals, trumpets, and the bold judgments that yet to come. What they mean, they've got all kinds of, even they don't agree. I'm going to clear that up a little bit tonight. We'll talk about it on Bible study 8 to 9. Also, let you know, we're played up in highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly. Fairly regularly, I believe, in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. And he has sponsors up there. And if y'all give him a hand up there, that in those three states, find some sponsors for him. And I don't get anything for it. It's of no financial venture for me whatsoever, zero. It's just to get the word out. He plays our broadcast because he just does. You know, but for him to stay up, he's got to have help. You know, as we all do. He's got bills to pay and all that sort of thing, and you all work it out. Me, I just want my shows played and my broadcasts. I mean, that would be broadcast and Bible studies. That's it for me. So I want you to know that I don't get anything for nothing. Anything. Whatever. In any case, I hope to answer some questions today about why people are killing themselves. You know, little important things like that, you know. Why children are going bananas crazy. What the schools are doing to your children, how they're controlling them, why suicides are so high, and what the mark of the beast is. You know, little things like that, you know, I'm going to talk about today and give you some evidence, you know. And we'll see if we transition into ISIS a little bit. Maybe we'll see how we do. But who really controls them, we'll see if we get that point. So I'm going to go with the flow here and dedicate the broadcast right now, and then I'd like to get started. And I have evidence for you all to see what's going on about how they're going to control your mind, you know, little things like that. But, you know, it's hard to deal with the competition of Dancing with the Stars or talking about financial obligations and all that sort of thing. That's, family, when they go to the mark of the beast, you know, it's going to change everything. When they go to the prosperity period, those of you that know, buckle up. Because when they say prosperity, we're going to do okay. Then those of you that know the truth, you know what to do. Get ready. Because the bottom's going to fall out when they come up with that. So this week, I'm just going to cover a little bit of the how they're trying to fool us all. That's what I like to uncover. But when people start panicking, they move away from God instead of moving to Him. Can you figure that out? I haven't yet. They move away instead of moving toward. And we'll certainly incorporate the 10-point plan by Alice Bailey, a little more detail today also. And she is higher up than the Council of Foreign Relations. Can you imagine? The priesthood. The priesthood is not the Pope. The priesthood, the real priesthood, the real one, is Benjamin Krem, Alice Bailey, Helen Blavatsky. The insider priests, bishops, or whatever that are controlling the New World Order, the New World, the New Age movement. That's the real priesthood, not the Roman Catholic Church or the Pope or all that. It's the New Age movement. And that's controlled by the hierarchy, the Great White Brotherhood, as they're called. And this is not referring to necessarily the color of their skin, per se. Great White Brotherhood is just the white color of the hierarchy as designated for that club, if you want to call it that. They got the White Brotherhood, the Black Brotherhood, and the Red Brotherhood. And there are different degrees of Illuminati at the highest level. See, we automatically are starting to think about skin color. But it's not it at all. So conditioned, aren't we? Let's dedicate the broadcast, and then let's start talking. I got from my perspective, of videos, audios that I'm going to play for you that will give credence to what I'm talking about from experts, and I've put them together, and we'll see how we get along with that as well. Listen very carefully to what they have to say, because now some of y'all, this is my regular listeners, you've heard these before. Some of you haven't. And for those that's new, and those that's old, even the things you've heard before, I got a different perspective to them today. So always add new information to all my broadcasts and Bible studies as well. So let's begin. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, to bless this broadcast and our Bible studies, Lord, that we can deliver the truth, that, Lord, to bring people here and to keep people's minds open, and, Lord, to share information and knowledge. Lord, we pray that you'll spread the blood of Jesus around us, that, Lord, we'll have no interruptions, and, Father, we'll be able to complete our broadcast and our studies, and, Lord, and protect us from outside influences. Lord, to give us that wisdom and discernment, that, Lord, we can pass the truth on to others. And Father, we pray, Lord, that for our families, we pray, Father, for our close friends and those, Father, that are in need of healing, those in need of bringing families together. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our lives today, Lord, and every other day that happens. Lord, we pray for our veterans that's being targeted, Lord, with these psychotropic drugs and the psychotronics equipment, Lord, to curb these suicides, Lord, to take the thoughts of suicides away from them. Lord, we pray for our family members that they'll come together. Lord, we pray for healings of those we've prayed for in the past. We pray for Virginia still, Lord, that we'll hear good news about her and her physical issues and problems, Lord, that you'll heal her. Lord, we call upon you to guide us the rest of this week. And, Lord, to bring power to this broadcast and bring people in. And also, Lord, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you'll just branch out to other folks. These things we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, it's a massive responsibility when you're on the radio, TV, speaking in a group, speaking in any kind of group, actually, of any kind of authority, no matter who you are, what you are, whatever. When you're on the radio, TV, or otherwise, you're assumed to be telling the truth. It's an assumption. Way more than if you're in a coffee house or whatever. It's way beyond that. So really, all you're doing on a blog talk radio is is making yourself official on a radio that you've set up, blog talk or speakeasy or whatever it is, RBN, TBN, something, I don't care what, whatever, doesn't matter. If you're on a radio and people are listening, it gives you immediately some degree of credibility already. So you better make doggone sure that you've got your ducks in a row. It's not time to have fun and just kick around and say, you know, because you affect people's lives. You say the wrong thing and just be flippant about it like you're in a coffee house, you could cause some people very damaging thought patterns, because the mind is clued in to you telling the truth. It has power because you're on a radio, but really it's nothing more than individuals just talking on a radio as if you were at a coffee house. You just have to have a microphone in front of you. That's all it is. So it's not a time to be lackadaisical and just flippant about what you say. Because you got people out there that live alone. People out there looking for answers, especially now. When the Holy Spirit touches people, they're looking for answers. They don't find it in the churches anymore. And you doggone sure don't go find tea party meetings. All they do there is chew the fat, eat at a buffet, and then, I don't know, trade off business cards and all that stuff, and then go home. Just feel good they talked about something, but nothing's done. Every single time. You see, just about. Maybe sometimes they'll move it up to the town hall meeting. Then they find out the Freemasons are in control. Oops. There you go. Tom, you got a bad way of looking at things. No, I look at it realistically. Jesus Christ literally is the only way. Now, we got veterans out there coming back. 26 suicides per day. That's mind-boggling beyond that. And 80% of them hadn't even been to combat. 60% hadn't been deployed. Then comes the quizzical look. Really? Everybody assumes it's post-traumatic stress. It's not what the statistics are telling. The statistics are saying, well, no, they've not even been deployed. Not even seen combat. 80%. 80%. So what's the deal here? What's going on? Is there an orchestrated effort? Darn right there is. Same drugs given to your children and ADHD, that false diagnosis that they give them in school, is the same type of effort they're giving to the troops when they come back. If a troop says, well, Doc, you know, if he's, of course, the troops coming back, they're not dumb. They're smart. And they're not going to tell the VA because they know they might get some kind of disability. They might get some kind of out of it later on. Some want it, some don't. But all they're looking for is some way to make you seem like you're crazy. Then they put it in your record book, and then they go back to what Bush passed in 2006, and he knew what he was doing. The Veterans Disarmament Act, and they can take your weapon away. Why? Because they've got Chinese, Russian troops, Singapore troops, Mexican troops, Islamic fundamentalists in Dearborn and Detroit as a whole, as safe houses. Family, they've set up, the military takeover is already here. Terrorists are already here, as allowed by the government since, actually, 1940s, but that's another story. But going back to 1993 was a full effort. The presidents and the secret societies already allowed They have allowed the invasion to already take place. There's no invasion going to happen. It's already done. All they're waiting now is to come out of the woodwork and the underground military bases and the bases on top of the soil that Clinton had closed down, really not closed down at all. Family, none of our presidents, except for the ones they assassinated, have ever been patriotic. Not one. Not one. They're all part of the secret societies and their agenda. Rosicrucians, Freemasons, Knights of Malta. That is their priority. Not America, not red, white, and blue, and 4th of July, and all that stuff. All that. They just go along with the program just to make it look like they are. They give speeches that would, you know, it'd fool Sigmund Freud, you know, just whatever. They're good at it. Man, they're trained. They're liars. Your generals, McKerney, all of them. Every doggone one of them. They're members of the secret societies. I've always wondered that maybe when they become first one-star general or colonel, that they give them a lobotomy or something. When they take a blood oath, they get a lobotomy, some part of their brain they take out. Because they end up becoming a secret society member and still go to church. You can't do that. You can't be a Freemason and a Christian at the same time. It's impossible. Not possible. You can claim it. That's possible. But are you? No, not at all. Good deeds don't make you a Christian. The good deeds comes after you're born again. If you're born again, you got to renounce that blood oath. Can't have it both ways. That blood oath is horrible. You ever told your wife about it? Why don't you tell your wife about it? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. You can't say any secrets because you're bound by God to not tell any secrets. Oh, I see. So you're taking a blood oath using God's name to lie. Oh, I got it now. It's insane. I don't see how anybody of any intelligence could even think that's right. It just boggles my mind. I can't think about it too long. It'd be dead time here in the air, wouldn't it? Veteran suicides and total population control. I mean, sometimes you got to have a sense of humor of some kind in this thing. But you got to know, what do you need to know this for that I'm going to tell you today? Because it's to pray against it. Family, they got total population control. Let me put it like this then. There is supernatural. That's a given. It's a given. Because if you don't believe in the supernatural, then you better get rid of a lot of senators, presidents, generals, CEOs, and take them out because they're all crazy because they believe in the supernatural. They worship Lucifer. Bohemian Grove. Fact. President Reagan and Nixon. They got pictures of him in Bohemian Grove. You got Bush, skull and bones, that goes back to his entire satanic bloodline, to Samuel Bush. Who knows how far they go back? I can tell you, actually. King John, Charles Maine, because they're part of the Merovingian bloodline. They believe in Lucifer. They take blood oath to him. So you've elected some crazy presidents then in the past. Don't call us crazy conspiracy theorists when you got a whole slew of CEOs, generals, presidents that were the president's wives. They go to seances. What do you think seances are? Go to Toys R Us and get you one of those little black balls, turn upside down, and you read your fortune in it? No. They go to seances to where the witches there, you heard me right, witches, they practice the tarot cards and all that stuff. Your president's wives, all of them, Bush, and even goes back to Lincoln. Mary Todd. Illuminati, married to the Esters. Oh, yeah. John Todd, 1980s, ancestor. Mary Todd. Family, this goes back to George Washington. George Washington, John Adams, they didn't trust it. They got out of it. They said, they were good. They were all right. The Masons like to claim that George Washington was a Freemason. He was. But he didn't accept, what they don't tell you is, he didn't accept certain high positions because he didn't trust the European Freemasons, the Fabians. They were murderers, man. They were murderers, the Fabians were. So the Jesuits, every single Jesuit, nothing but a murderer, a liar, and Luciferian. Every single one of them, no exception, except for the whistleblowers. And they killed them. Alberto Rivera is a good example. They try to downplay Alberto Rivera. But why'd they kill him then, if they did? God is all-seeing, all-powerful, knows the end from the beginning, knows the future, which Satan doesn't, mankind doesn't. No time travelers in the human realm or the satanic realm. If they did, they're pretty stupid because they couldn't figure out certain things in the future that already is going to be their undoing. So they're lying to our four-star generals and our scientists that they're time travelers. Yet they still believe it. God can see everything, knows everything, because he's God. He exists. He came down here on earth as Jesus Christ incarnated to have a personal relationship with his creation. The God of the universe couldn't do that. He's too big. He's too powerful. Too large. Too massive. So he simply came down as one of us. Name was Jesus Christ. You know Jesus Christ? Then you know God. Exactly, because they're one and the same. As Jesus said himself many times. And then when he left this earth, supernaturally, not some silly UFO, when he left earth supernaturally, after the 40 days he was here, then came the Pentecost. But when he left this earth, not in the UFO, he ascended. He sent down, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit. This way, God is in touch with every human being. But to get through those gates, to get to the heaven, when you die, is through Jesus and Jesus alone. In the way that King James Bible tells us, by acknowledging our sin. I mean, what's the difference? When you tell little Johnny who stole some money and you found out and you spank his little bottom because he's a child or you restrict him at a certain age or whatever, you punish little Johnny to show him love but because you don't want him to do it again. He's learning. And you say, Johnny, now why did I do that? Do you know why? Well, Mommy. All right, why? Or Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Don't do it again. All right, why'd I do it, Johnny? Because I took a Johnny? Okay, I took the money. I shouldn't have. It's the hardest thing to say, isn't it? To acknowledge that you made a mistake. How dare you say I made a mistake? Well, you did. You committed adultery. You lied. You cheated. You murdered. You stole. Well, I wouldn't have taken it if they hadn't. I wouldn't have beat her if this hadn't all the excuses and they're all weak ways of getting over the sin. They don't need the pins anyway. I took them, so what? I wouldn't have done that if she hadn't have did this. Oh, a little Adam in there, huh? I wouldn't have ate the apple if they even hadn't offered it to me. See, Adam was irresponsible. That's why they got both thrown out of the Garden of Eden. They both disobeyed God, and both of them just passed the buck. For me to say I'm wrong, I got to find justification so I don't have to say I'm wrong. See how it works? That's what's going on today. Well, God's all-seeing, all-knowing. Satan's not. Here's the rub. Satan is using technology to make up for what he doesn't have, what he can't do. One way he can do it is by technology and knowledge that he imparts upon human beings to do it for him. I talked about that yesterday a little bit. So to try to do artificially what God can do naturally, he has to use technology and what little supernatural abilities that he has that we as humans don't have, but he makes up for it by giving us knowledge. I'm not going to go into the details, but they do it in several different ways called channeling or overshadowing in three different degrees of doing it to those they've picked and chose. Have you not heard before that when you come up with a, this is of course hypothetical example, a brand new mousetrap that nobody's ever thought of before that does all these fancy things to get the mouse that nobody's ever thought, and you know that you're going to make $1 million out of it. And you think, man, I'm smart because I figured out how to make this new mousetrap. And you think about it, you're going to sell it on a 2 o'clock show at night. You know, I have a new mousetrap, y'all. Okay. Or whatever it is. And you're going to submit to the patent office, which they already know now that you have found it out how to do it. Well, the old adage is that if you've thought of it, 10 other people have too in this world. And one or two of you is actually going to do something about it. All right. Well, where do you get those ideas from? People think, well, I'm a smart boy. I took an MBA and I figured this out. Well, I got news for you. That's not true. Nikola Tesla, Leonardo da Vinci, they just didn't think of these things because they were special people. They did it because they were overshadowed or channeled. And there's three ways, very massively simple. One, it's your idea you think it is, but not really. You think it's your idea because it came to your mind, and it's just an amazing idea, and you think it's yours. Well, no one was put there. Now, they can do that technologically now, and they've done it supernaturally. Or number two, you've done your meditation, you've done your worship, you've done your ritualized steps, and you know you're receiving from some outside force the knowledge, the speaking, the whatever. You know it's coming from outside of you. And number three is full possession of a demonic being, an avatar. Family, these are facts. These are documented in the Illuminati handbooks and textbook. I found one. And that's what they tell you. And I have overly simplified it. There's two different schools of thought, being overshadowed or being channeled. And there's three ways each one that are the same, pretty much. Depends what school of thought you come from. That's where all of our ideas and thoughts and works come from. That's how the science has upgraded itself. It's coming from the outside. Just like, where do they get witchcraft from? Where did Freemasons get their knowledge of alchemy? From Nimrod. You think Nimrod was all that smart? No. He got it from the fallen angels, the second wave of fallen angels. After the flood, three generations after the flood, they started again with witchcraft, with sorcery, alchemy. Manipulating God's principles to use them for their advantage. And that's what they did. Now, so what they can't do that God can, they're trying to make it up by technology. This is exactly why God took down the Tower of Babel. This is exactly why God divided the land to keep people from working together. Why? Because he loved them. He knew if they worked together, they'd work against him every time. And that's exactly what they did. And exactly what they're doing now. This is a big, big picture that's really going on that people aren't caught talking about. So what you do is you pray against it, or you work with each other to bring people to Jesus, because this is going to happen. Judgment is coming, no matter what. That train is bearing down on us. God is getting, there's impatience. You see, how do you know God's getting impatient? Who are you to say? Well, he set back and look at the signs of the times as they're increasing. And you say, well, how's that determined God's impatient? Because he's allowing it to go through. He's allowing it to increase. Because the more they increase, the quicker they come to their destruction. He allows evil to separate the wheat and the tares. Exactly like he's going to do at the end of the 1,000-year millennium. He's going to release Satan. That's why I keep Satan in chains and not send him to the lake of fire. Oh, I know what I was going to say before I go to the next step. Here is, especially in this Bible Belt, a massive, and I ran across this the other day, and I said, oh, and I wrote it down. It's one of those rotten things down in my journal thing. The fundamentalist here in Mount Airy, and, well, not just Mount Airy, but in the South, evangelists in the fundamentalist churches, and, well, nationwide, heck, we're taught from the TV, from comic books, from churches even, that Satan is where? In hell. But Satan's not in hell. Hell was created for Satan, to punish Satan. You see? He's not down there directing efforts. He's in the second heaven, between the first heaven, earth, and the third heaven, which is where God resides. He's in the second heaven, the known universe, on those planets. That's your aliens, but they're not aliens. They're demonic entities. He's there. Hell was created for them. That's where they're going to be sent. For their punishment. They're going to be punished in hell. You see? So people think that Satan's in hell and God's in heaven. And that Satan's already there. But he's not. These preachers have failed in their job. Satan's going to be sent there, but he's going to be released after 1,000 years of millennial reign of Jesus in Jerusalem. Imagine. Wow. Anyway, to once again tempt the nations, because in that 1,000 years, Satan will not be here to tempt them like he's doing now. Y'all understand? I can't, you know, if I had teaching a class or a lecture or something, I'd able to see people's faces and all, to that you understand this. It's important to understand. You see, what do you mean? Well, Satan is in control of this world as allowed by sin. He's using psychotropic drugs. He's using microchips. He's using all this technology to control people. And a massive control is coming. I'm getting ready to talk about it here in a second. But he is in everything. And this could be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, finance, world kingdoms, world organizations, religion, I said that already. Commerce, I said that already, sort of. He's in all of it. So, symbols, TV, all that, everything. Biology, chemistry, all biology and chemistry is satanic. It is for him to identify the principles that God set up so he can manipulate them and use the best humans he can find to reward them, to help him put together. That's what's going on. It's what he did in Nimrod. It's what he's doing now. It's what he did all through our history. All God wants when he created us was to love him, share on each other, help each other, and worship him, and us get along together and love each other and work at things out and so forth under his laws, his rules, his one world government, which is benevolent. But he's got to have this other influence to separate those that's really going to follow him by their free will. What it's all about. Whether you like it or not, you're in it. There's no getting off this train. Deny it all you want. But one day you're going to face death. It's going to happen. And when you do, and you die, where are you going? It's real important to know this. Death is certain. Either rapture or death, but certain. Whether it's untimely, as we call it, or whether it's when you get 80, 90, 100 years old, whatever, you know, or 70 or something, it's still going to happen. There's no getting around it. None. And you just don't dissipate and just go away. You just turn into a vapor and that's it. It don't work that way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Energy doesn't disappear anyway. It's alive from the new ages. Okay. So Satan makes up for what he can't do by using technology. They can't do it like they did in the Old Testament, Atlantis, all that nonsense. But it's why God destroyed it. So make up for it by using technology. That's what I'm going to talk about. Total population control. You know, going from the raw, they didn't have all this technology back in the days of Noah, back in the days of Nimrod, or back in the days of those times. So how are they influenced when you go to the Bible? They were influenced by supernatural means. Supernatural. What does that mean? Supernatural. Demons. The demonic realm is real. It's not fake. And what are demons in the first place? They're actually, when you talk about the points of light, you've heard before, 1,000 points of light. Points of light, little light, speck of lights. Each demon, one demon is nothing but a speck of light like a firefly. Smaller. That's all demons are. The pineal gland contains your soul. Your soul is not some philosophical notion. Your soul is an actual energy entity that is housed inside your body. It gives you your personality, your character, that lights up your body. Otherwise, with it gone, you're dead. With it in there, in the pineal gland, you're alive. And it powers the whole body, like a battery. It can be measured in hertz. And to separate you from all the other spirits is your soul, I just finished talking about. And the spirit is to connect the silver cord to God's spirit. Call it an optic cable. I don't know how else to say it. So Jesus comes along. Okay. He's the modem. He's the go-between. I'm going to go that way. You know, these demons can actually travel on optic cables and copper wire. They can house themselves in crystals, in computers. They can get inside animals. They can get inside humans. They're looking for that human earth experience. They have to occupy something in the physical realm. Or they're in the abyss. It's physics, electronics, chemistry, biology. It's real. So possession by spirits is one form of a whole range of human interaction, kind of in corporeal intelligences. Now, these things can affect us. As God moves away his spirit, they become more pronounced. You may see a spirit in your dreams. You may mistake that being for a dream character. God talks to people in dreams. Interaction is possible. Interaction, some of y'all that don't talk about it, can be sexual. I'm talking some serious, serious points here. Deadly serious. I know people in the past week that have told me about being scratched from places they could not do it and now are believers. When God pulls away his spirit because we're moving away from him, the demonic realm has more power being added to it. That's how I know God's getting impatient, because he's pulling away. You know it can't be good. Allowing the demonic realm to have more latitude. That's God showing impatience. But the more impatience he shows, the more latitude they have, the sooner they're heading to hell. And sooner Jesus Christ is coming back. Yep, it's a double-edged sword. Spirits are different from dream characters. They take over the story of a dream and move it in their own way if we're not protected by the blood of Jesus. Often you'll find yourself forcing yourself awake if interaction with a spirit's unpleasant. Isn't that what they do in some of these movies? They show you what's going on in the movies. We just think it's fictional. So it's putting our brains that this is fiction. So when you tell the truth, oh, that's a movie I saw, Freddy Krueger. Come on, isn't that what happens? Uh-huh. That's how it works. Because they associate with your fiction books and fiction storylines with the truth. So that way they hide it right in front of your eyes. It's perfect. Ghosts of the souls is not souls of dead human beings. They're spirits who've put on the forms of dead human beings for the purpose of interacting with your consciousness. Spirits are very obliging, too. You treat a spirit as a soul of your departed grandmother or father or whatever. The spirit playing the part will do its best to behave as it thinks you want it to behave. I have, in fact, experienced this myself. 25 years ago, stupidly, I was fooling around with this Ouija board. I didn't believe in them. And some person said, oh, it works. I said, this is stupid stuff. No, it works. I said, no, I don't believe that. Well, let's try it then. I said, sure. Yeah, let's do it. That's like 25 years, a quarter of a century ago. Family, that thing worked. I looked for the movement of her arm, of muscles making the thing move. That darn thing moved. It was my dad that had died and said things that only he would know. I never knew my dad, really, my real dad. I didn't know him, really. I just knew when I was a child and would visit and all that sort of thing. Visitation, all that stuff that people go through. So I did know some things. And I said, whoa. And then I realized it was demonic. And when I became born again, then I started learning about demonic spirits. I said, oh, my gosh. So I renounced that session. It just takes one. Family, I'm telling you right now, it worked. And they spell the symbols attracts the demonic realm. And by you agreeing to use it, by putting your knees together and putting your fingers on, you're giving permission. It's about giving permission. It works. Because you've drawn those demons to you. Then it changed on me and said, well, really, we're two children that were killed here 100 years ago by Indians, it said. Even had the names. I mean, it got really weird. And I renounced that as soon as I knew about it. It's real, family. I'm telling you right now, it's real. The Ouija board is a cursed item. And they caused, then I did research and found out how many suicides are caused by the Ouija board of children. Then I really got into studying it and warning people about it. It's real. So if you treat a spirit as the soul of your departed grandmothers or whoever, the spirit will play that part well. No such thing as ghosts. Spirits sometimes cause you to perceive them by touching you because you're not protected. The touch of a spirit on your body is usually kind of cool, often mistaken for a draft. It can also be ticklish. Feel something similar to an insect crawling across your skin. But more rarely, the touch of a spirit on your skin is warm and feels like a heating pad in some occasions. And at times, it takes the form of a pricking sensation, like being prickled with a needle. That prickling happens most commonly at the tips of your extremities, fingers and toes. In Macbeth, by Shakespeare, who was an avatar, by the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. That's where he gets it from. More commonly, spirits access the body through the mouth, nose, ears, the anus, the genitals, or top of the head. Top of the head is the most common. There's portals, chakras, they call them. Now, I'm going to stop there. I may talk more about that later. I've got a whole study on this. But I just want to get that point across. It's real. Now, before I go more into this, which I'm not going to go into this, I may do this later, more into the demonic realm, I want to go back to what I wanted to talk about. They have synthesized, made synthetic, demonic influence. Electromagnetic waves and transmission. By tapping in on the Earth resonant frequency, they've been able to create synthetic demonic influence. You all follow me here? So you got it through HARP, ELF transmissions. Now they're telling you about these towers. We've been saying this for the longest time about these towers with the big bases, and they, some of them are camouflaged like trees, and others just out there, deliver electromagnetic lower frequencies. Family, you have one tower that covers 300 miles of ELF transmission, microwave technology, microwaves, that overlap throughout the United States. And shut them off, turn them on, by voices in the head, manipulation of the body. I'm going to give you evidence today. Evidence today. But I'm just setting it up right now so you just don't get thrown at you. You see, the Creator, our God, designed living beings to resonate to the 11 natural Schumann resonance frequencies pulsation. This is in order to evolve harmoniously. It's physics. Things that we don't need to know. God's in control of it. All He wants us to do is love Him. Love each other. Help each other. And to worship Him. Because He's the Creator, for goodness sakes. But instead, I want to be a God, like Copeland says, or T.D. Jakes, or Brazier, or Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, all these guys, and TBN and F700 Club and all that, to become gods like Rosicrucian, Freemasons, Knights of Malta. Man to become his God, Genesis 3:22. Their number, 3:22. That's what that means. Superpower. That's what 3:22 means. You all know that. You know what that means, don't you? Genesis 3:22, man to become as a god. That's their secret number.
You were both in Skull and Bone, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 3:22?
First of all, he's not the nominee. But I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
3:22, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching Be Safe on the Campaign Trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us. And we'll be right back.
Now, that Lion Kerry and Lion Bush, you know they're cousins, bloodline cousins to Queen Elizabeth II. Do y'all know they're all cousins? Romney is a cousin, their cousin. They're all three cousins. Yeah, how about that? Colin Powell, too. Going back to Charles Maine and King John. Did y'all know that? How about that? They're all cousins. How the game they play. All the presidents are in the same cousin line. 3:22 is Genesis 3:22. That's their little secret. Man to become as God. Did you know that Rupert, the interviewer there in the news, died of cancer sometime later? Interesting, huh? And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Right there it is. And they kicked their honey butts out of the Garden of Eden. And now the Illuminati, fallen angels, are trying to get that back so they can become as gods. So the lie they're telling the secret society is you can become as a god, but you've got to do what we want you to do. That's the big picture. They're never going to get it. All this for nothing. They'll never achieve it. Because God stopped it then, God's going to stop it in the future. There's not a darn thing they can do about it. Everything going on today is connected. You won't find one national issue that's not connected to this conspiracy. I mean everything. And the whole idea is to lead others to Jesus. That's the bottom line of everything. Right now, people are panicking. They want to find a way they're going to solve it themselves. So let's stick to the topic here again and talk about total population control now that I've laid the groundwork. You see what I've done? Now I can talk about total population control. Let's go back to what I was talking about. Frequency nomenclature. The Earth brainwaves are identical to the frequency spectrum of our human brainwaves on this physical plane called the first heaven, Earth. Your natural waves of electromagnetic particles results in electrical activity in the atmosphere. And they're thought to be caused by multiple lightning storms. Collectively, these waves are called the Schumann resonance. The strongest current registered at 7.8 hertz. Remember that. Quasi-standing, scalar type, extremely low frequency ELF waves that naturally exist in the Earth's electromagnetic cavity is kind of the space between the ground and the ionosphere. HARP is an ionosphere heater. So the Earth brainwaves are identical to the frequency spectrum of our brainwaves in this physical plane. So, 1 hertz is 1 cycle per second. 1 kilohertz is 1,000 CPS, cycles per second. 1 megahertz is 1 million cycles per second. So a wavelength, 1 hertz has a wavelength that's 186,000 miles long in 1 second. You got it? So a 10 hertz wave is 18,600 miles long. Radio waves are moved at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Now, this is all quantified. This is how Satan has quantified the knowledge of good and evil to be able to manipulate God's creation. So, God designed living things to resonate in his physical plane at 11 natural Schumann resonance frequencies, this kind of pulsation, so we can evolve harmoniously. The ionosphere evolved harmoniously. When God divided the land, he divided the languages first. Very clever, huh? Then divided the land, which is part of the gap of history. He didn't talk about that. When the scientists tell you, oh, well, the earth moves, the plates move about 6 inches every million years or whatever. You know, they talk about that. That's how come everything's... No, God moved it supernaturally. There's a massive loss of life when that happened. Massive tsunamis occurred. 3,000-4,000 years ago. It's a long story. I'm not going to go there right now. He separated the languages after Nimrod. He separated the land, and we're all one culture. By being placed in different parts of the earth, it has this ELF transmission at different positions of the earth, ley lines. DNA evolved because of electromagnetic frequencies and set in a certain pattern for that area. In other words, that's why you don't have polar bears in Africa. You got polar bears in the north. It wasn't because bears in the south just man, it's too hot down here. I'm a white bear and it's hot in Africa and I'm going to walk myself in. And bears don't have canoes, okay? So things evolved using God's principles, different parts of the world after the ark, after the flood. No vertical evolution, horizontal. That's why you got black people south. You got white and Chinese and Oriental north and east. You got the Middle East, bronze skin, Indians, Mexicans, Middle Easterners all look alike. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, there's an article came out that the only way they could tell the difference between the Mexicans and the Islamic fundamentalists coming across the Mexican border was to reach their hand out to shake the hand, and the Middle Easterner wouldn't touch the right hand because that's a custom, because they know Americans use their hand to, you know, some other reason. Only they can tell, because they look alike. Because the power structures on the earth had changed DNA. Power structures on the earth changed the DNA over a period of 10 generations or more. Well, look here what I found. Did not the Bible say that God changed the languages at the Tower of Babel? Then divide the land? God always tells us the truth. He has it come out. Recently, an article came out. DNA, science, and what Russian researchers have surprisingly discovered, that Russian scientists reprogram human DNA using words and frequencies. DNA science has finally explained previously mysterious phenomena such as clairvoyance, intuition, hands-free healing, supernatural light and auras, and more. They discovered that words change DNA. It has to do with energy, vibration, in language. They did it on vibration, language, impact on human DNA. And what they found was completely unexpected. Our DNA stores data like computer memory system, we know that. But our genetic code uses grammar rules and syntax in a way that closely mirrors the human language. They also found that even structuring DNA alkaline pairs showed a regular grammar and has set rules. So it appeared that all human languages are simply verbalizations of our DNA. The team discovered that living human DNA can be changed and rearranged with spoken words and phrases. How about that? It's all part of it. That is amazing, because that shows you they're coming up with the evidence that by moving the plates, by different cultures being in certain places over a period of time, change the DNA. That's where you get your table of nations. What do they try to tell you today? They try to tell you that out of the bosom of Noah, he had a Chinese son, he had a black son, he had a white son. He got all of them, just three sons, different ones. Or the wives had DNA different from everybody else. That's where, right there it is. Now they got a study that confirms what we was talking about. found it the other day. Oh, that was very significant. Very significant. Scientists prove that DNA can be reprogrammed by words and frequencies. It goes back to September 2nd, 2011. There's another article I found. Same thing. It goes back about 3 or 4 years ago. Now, this harp is called the High Frequency Active Oral Research Program. Sends out focused radiative power to heat up sections of the ionosphere. Bounces off power down again. So it bounces off the ionosphere. ELF waves produced from HARP targets selected areas or people. Can weather engineer create mood changes affecting millions of people. The intended wattage is 1,700 billion watts of power. They tell you, no. They say, oh, only 30 watts looking for oil deposits. You also have geomagnetic waves and Gwen coils. There are 64 elements in the ground that modulate with some kind of variation of sort. And the geometric waves naturally coming from the ground, the Earth's natural brain rhythm is above and balanced with these. So there's a relation between the blood and geometric magnetic waves. An imbalance between Schumann and geomagnetic waves disrupt the biorhythms. The Gwen coils controls the weather, mind control, behavior and mood control, sending out synthetic telepathy infrasound to victims with U.S. government-controlled implants. The Gwen works in conjunction with HARP and the Russian woodpecker transmitter, which is similar to HARP. Now remember what I'm saying. They openly market this thing. And they had the Gwen coils in the ground first, covered 200 miles. Then they put the towers up, extended 100 miles additional. Now all that being said, when you have, like Puterich, Andrea Puterich, in the 50s and 1960s, he found the clairvoyant brainwaves, which are possessed individuals, became 8 hertz when their psychic powers were operative. In other words, they were possessed, increased their ability by increasing the hertz. Their bodies must be prepared for that, or they'll spontaneously combust. Because a demon comes in to give them that power. You see how it works? This is amazing stuff. He saw an Indian yoga in 1956 controlling his brainwaves. Deliberately shift his consciousness from one level to another. So Puharich, P-U-H-A-R-I-C-H, I believe, he trained people with biofeedback to do this consciously, making 8 hertz waves. So a healer made 8 hertz waves, passed into a patient, healing their heart, trouble, and whatever. Brain emitting 8 hertz. So in other words, when they have 7.83 hertz, the Earth's pulse rate, made a person feel good, producing kind of altered state of consciousness. However, at 10.80 or 11 hertz, it causes riotous behavior. If they reduce it under, like 6.6 hertz, here we go, it causes depression. Now, you add the psychotropic drugs, and you add the voices, you get yourself a suicide. Puterich made the ELF waves, which are naturally produced by the Earth, also change RNA and DNA. It broke up the hydrogen bonds to make a person have a higher vibratory rate. He sort of wanted to go beyond that, though. 8 hertz and the brainwave and track the PSI phenomena. Because James Hurtak, H-U-R-T-A-K, he worked for Puterich at one time. He wrote a book called The Keys of Enoch. That garbage book, Enoch, never written by Enoch. Written in the first century, by the way. Ultraviolet caused hydrogen bombs to break. The color caused hydrogen bombs to break and raise the vibratory rate. Now, I can go on and on about this. But you understand sort of the principle here a little bit. Nikola Tesla revealed in 1901 that power could be transmitted through the ground using ELF waves. Nothing stops or weakens these signals. But the Russians got a hold of his paper when they were finally returned to Yugoslavia after his death. He was a Serbian. The Vatican don't like Serbians. That's what Kosovo was all about. Croatia, Bosnia. Now, that little bit being said, what he did also, he created a dental tooth implant, which mind control victims are now claiming was surreptitiously kind of placed in their mouth by controlled dentists that are Freemasons, causing them to hear voices in their head, called voice-to-skull technology. The implant was placed under a dental caps or lodged in the jaw. Right now, there's 7,800 veterans are suing DOD and CIA for septal nose implants. It's not talking, not even considering the vaccine implants that they put in our troops. Troops that might be listening now, if they were, they wouldn't want to hear this. But this is the reason why things are happening the way they are. I got complete studies on this. And you know that the New Agers, the Freemasons, are saying they can increase or will increase going to the fourth dimensional frequency increase to become as gods. 12 to 14 hertz of human resonance, giving them psychic powers, inching us toward the fourth dimension. Stimulants that are globally ingested from caffeine or genetically modified plants can also have an impact on somebody's brain. Global brain in the ionosphere, collecting our thought waves and whatever. But New Age channelers say they're going into a fourth dimensional frequency. That they heard the voice of some ET who told them. That's exactly what Ellen G. White said about two tall men in Jupiter. That was fallen angels. Some ETs may be local boys, actually. Because some voices in the head were produced in prisoners in Utah prisons using Tesla technology. That's already been done. It's documented. Matter of fact, David Frattis, he's a whistleblower, Draper Prison in Utah, 1988. He wrote, and I quote, "I began to receive or hear high frequency tones in my ears. When I plug my ears, the tones are inside, become amplified. It's as if they had become electrified echo chambers with the sounds coming from the inside out. I begin to hear voices in my inner ear as vivid as though I was listening to a set of stereo headphones. With the end result being, I'm now having my brain monitored by an omnipotent, computerized mind reading or scanning machine of some sort." Unquote. I wish your veterans could hear this now and know what's really going on. These people just don't believe it. The technology is virtually irrefutable. In any case, let's see what we got here. It was something like this. Let's give my first witness.
RFID is a technology that uses tiny computer chips, the size of a grain of sand or even smaller, hooked up to miniature antennas to transmit information about items at a distance. Back in 1999, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, and MIT got together to find a way to commercialize this technology and make it small enough, make it efficient enough, and make it low cost enough to, essentially, their dream is to put one of these tiny computer chips on every physical item manufactured on planet Earth. The latest technology for identifying people at the point of sale, for identifying people when they make purchases, is actually the implantable chip that you can actually embed directly into human flesh. It's a tiny glass capsule about the size of a grain of rice. It contains an RFID computer chip with a coiled antenna, and it can transmit information also at a distance.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
Homeland Security folks, the Department of Defense, and others have expressed an interest in being able to more closely monitor the U.S. populace. And one way to do that, of course, would be being able to determine who buys what and where they take those things. Radio waves can travel through walls, they can travel through wood, they can travel through the things we normally rely on to protect our privacy. For example, your purse, your backpack, your pocket, anything you're wearing or carrying. Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese has been tagged with RFID and sold to consumers, as have Mach 3 razor products and other Gillette razor products, without the knowledge of the consumer. One of the tiny chips could actually even be the dot on the letter I on the back of the fine print on a package that you purchase. They were talking about having reader devices in every airport, on every bus, on every train, on every port, on every dock. One of the most worrisome applications of RFID are proposals to put them into cash, meaning that you would be able to track every banknote, where it had been, who it had been issued to, and create, in essence, an audit trail. That would essentially take away the anonymity of cash that we now enjoy today. The ATM machine itself, as the money came through the roller device, would be reading each number, and they would know who you are because, of course, you identify yourself at the bank before you take money out. And down the road, when you go to pay at a major retailer, it would also be possible for them, as they're putting the money into the cash drawer, to simply feed it through a little reader device. It would go in, it would tag that number and transfer possession from Aaron Russo, say, to Walmart. Once everything you do is tied down to a single number and there is no longer the ability to pay with cash, then all it takes to render you a non-citizen is to simply turn that chip off. You will no longer be able to really participate in any function in society, including buy food. The Orwellian, I mean, it's talking about Big Brother looking over your shoulder at absolutely everything you do, every purchase you make, every place you go, every company you interact with. All of that would be reported back potentially to the government.
Kathy Albrecht about the spy chips, and now a well-known researcher that tells you exactly. Here we go. Professor Anthony Sutton, psychotronic weapons used to manipulate people.
What I'd like to do is to get on with a subject that you've been most involved in since you've done all these things that we've been discussing, and that is psychotronics. I'd like to show you a video clip on Soviet psychotronics and ask for your comment, and we'll take off into that area.
Okay. But in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients. It's called a Lida machine. It radiates pulses of radio frequency energy, as well as light, sound, and heat. The pulse rate is in the extremely low frequency range, between 0 and 100 pulses per second. Dr. Ross Ady is the top researcher at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Loma Linda, California. He has been investigating the effects of the LIDA machine.
Now, what did the Soviets use this machine for? Well, they don't use it anymore. We should be very clear that this is a machine which is regarded by them as somewhat obsolete technology.
This scientist, who did not want his identity revealed, is employed by the U.S. government and has done secret RF weapons research. He believes that tests done with the LIDA and similar machines prove that humans are susceptible to remote alterations of mood and awareness.
Certain kinds of weak electromagnetic signals work exactly like drugs. And so the promise is that anything you can do with drugs, you could do with the right electromagnetic signals. Apparently, there are specific sites involved, specific functions involved. It's a matter of matching up, just like it is with a pill or a drug, to cause and effect. You could have a cause and effect relationship between a magnetic field and a biological function.
This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the poor American population is there. Has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The single range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a PhD in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal is permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
Well, it was a little unclear, but I knew two of the gentlemen on the Bob Beck, and I think Becker was the other one. And basically, of course, they're talking about psychotronics. If I can translate in my words.
Please do.
Psychotronics is the... Let me pick these words very carefully. Is the long-range modification or manipulation of behavior by electronic, specifically radio means. In other words, you use electromagnetic energy, radio transmissions, to affect human behavior at a distance. In other words, what you're doing is that you are merging radio engineering and parapsychology. This is what I think the Soviets can do. This is something which we have not in the West looked at too carefully. What I think the Soviets can do, and this I think was the intent of this film clip, let me summarize what they can do and then in more detail about one or two of these facets. One, they can manipulate behavior at a distance. For example, they could create a riot, which you couldn't stop, in this auditorium, right out of that transmitter. What they would do specifically is that the name of the transmitter is not the one I know. I know it as the Gomel transmitter. He called it the woodpecker signal. But what they do, they broadcast the signal to create a riot. You broadcast 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, beamed into this room. And it would, without you knowing, you would start to get uncomfortable, then upset, and then I presume start getting a little active, like throwing the plants around or breaking up chairs, things like that. You use specific, what I call the radio frequency windows. 11 hertz will create that kind of behavior. Other frequencies, other windows will create other kinds of behavior. You can create a passive behavior. You can make people go to sleep. You can create narcotic effects. It has been used actually as an antidote, as a cure for narcotic addiction. You can make people alert. You can make them misunderstand things. Each has a specific, very precise frequency. We know what these frequencies are. We know the behavior modification that can be brought about. We know the Soviets are using it. Let me give you three examples. One, the Moscow embassy in 1977, the State Department discovered that its employees were being zapped by what they call microwaves, that were really these transmissions, extremely low-frequency transmissions. The ambassador, in fact, had heart problems as a result of it. And you can induce medical effects. You can induce heart attacks at a distance with certain frequencies. That's one example we know. The State Department then took the wrong approach. It put screens on windows, but we know that copper and steel screening will not shield from alpha, extremely low frequency waves. There is another antidote, which we can get into later if you want. One, we know you can modify behavior through beaming radio waves on specific frequencies at a distance. We can do that.
How great a distance?
Well, the transmitter they're using is at Gomel. We know that was beamed on Eugene, Oregon in the late 70s. They were picking up, I forget the cycles per second, I think it was about 9 hertz. And that was very intense at 2,000 feet. They got public health people picked up a number of, well, I think 20, 30, 40 cases of disorientation, headaches, nausea, that kind of thing, which you would get from that frequency. A more clear example is not Eugene, Oregon, although I'm fairly sure of that case, is the Canadian cases, Kirkland Lake and Timmins, Ontario, both bombarded by the Soviets. In this case, I'm in touch with a Canadian scientist who did the analysis for the Canadian government. There is no question in his mind that the Soviets bombarded Kirkland Lake and Timmins with a frequency which would create disorientation, headaches and nausea, that kind of thing. So the distance, if you can get a radio wave in there, you can get this effect in there. It's so the frequency on which it operates.
The purpose of this was an experiment to prove what they could do and what they could do in wartime?
I think in the early 70s, this was experimentation. I think what they're doing today is not experimentation. If you look at the State Department, which as I see it, has not made one decision in our favor. Every decision is against us. If you look what happened in the Moscow embassy, if you get Schultz saying that counterintelligence is not productive, you know, these ridiculous statements, you begin to think that, okay, you can bring this about through psychoactive warfare, psychoactive manipulation using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. And that's what Robert Beck and the other gentleman were saying.
Do the Soviets select certain individuals in the United States, or do they take a picture of them and put it in a machine in the Soviet
Union? That's a different
field. Or what are they?
There's several different things here. Firstly, I cannot prove that the Soviets have done this, but what I do know is that the West Germans issued their diplomats with protective devices about 10 years ago. In fact, I have the circuit diagrams for these protective devices. The West Germans have recognized the problem. They have taken moves against it. The State Department in 78 was not recognizing the problem. I don't know if they've taken any moves against it. It looks as if they have not.
Part two.
This is where I am very, very disturbed, because in the West, we don't think in terms of warfare, certainly not to achieve objectives. Well, at least most of us don't, except the elite. And I'm concerned that while the elite is out to control the world, the Russian, given the Russian mind and the technology we've given them, is going to use this technology back against us in forms which we don't accept. And there's no question that our establishment engineers haven't until recently accepted behavioral modification through radio engineering. Now, both these gentlemen you noticed on here, they can talk because they're outside the establishment. They do not work for the government. In fact, I just had a letter from one of them. And this is the consensus among these people that this can be done, and secondly, it is being done. Now, there are other things that, in addition to behavioral manipulation, they're a little harder to pinpoint. I rather suspect that the Soviets can, identify objects at a distance, say through radar. They can estimate the shape, the size, and the composition. In other words, one can analyze the return spectrum and analyze that and find the composition of what they're looking at. So theoretically, you could put a beam into, say, this top secret installation inside it, and you could get a picture back, very roughly, giving the shape, the size, and the composition of the article that was the other end of that beam. They can use it, I suspect, for telepathy. Telepathy, for a long time, has been a random sort of phenomenon. I think possibly you could use radio waves as a carrier for telepathy. Perhaps even for psychokinesis, too.
Well, telepathy can be mind manipulation. If someone doesn't recognize it as an exterior communication.
Yes. So that basically is what psychokinesis is. Then the one you mentioned about the putting the picture in the well. The number of end uses for that, I don't know which one you had in mind, but for example, it could be used for finding people. Tracing people. You could put a picture of a person within this machine and through a map, have it trace out the coordinates where the person is. I heard it was used in one case, the U.S. Navy, now I cannot verify this, it's only what it's just hearsay, that the U.S. Navy did experiment with this kind of operation by getting the signatures of Soviet submarine commanders and using this process for identifying the location of this particular submarine.
Now that's a fantastic achievement, by a signature. You can't hide anything on this earth, not even a symbol. Now, do you think the Soviets are targeting certain segments of our population that are the leadership, the Congress, the military, or do you think that over the pole are coming ELF waves that are affecting the entire population, beaming these between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning and so forth?
Yeah. Well, if you look at Washington, you know, you go into Washington, it's like a world apart. And you go through all, like we did earlier, do we explain these things by stupidity, by ignorance? And you're almost left up by default with this behavioristic manipulation. It's the only one that really fits. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality, as I see it, and as you see it, that this really becomes the only explanation that will hold water.
Well, when you have a few people that are not in any way influenced by it and take their stand for reality, for truth, for common sense, do these people have a natural repellent of these kind of energy waves? Is it a strength of God within them, or what is it that keeps some people totally clear in their thinking?
I think there's got to be an inner force, a spiritual power, which enables us, perhaps gives us an inner strength to see truth, to see things as they really are. And these people, as you mentioned, don't have this inner strength, this inner power, this inner reflection of God.
And when you look at the people who are receptive and who tout this line, they seem to have had the capacity for vulnerability to this before they came under that attack. Like Schultz, for instance.
A vulnerability.
Like Schultz. I mean, you could say he's a victim of ELF waves, but Schultz was Schultz before he was a victim of ELF waves, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's whether the Soviets manipulated his psychological weaknesses or the ELF waves brought them about. But the kind of person you get in Washington, a person who searches for power, you can guarantee that 95% of the people in Washington have got this lack of inner strength, as you mentioned.
You know, it's been observed by top people in Washington that the attrition rate on the part of people visiting the Soviet Union and then coming back and being soft on communism is amazing. In fact, they can go to the Soviet Union and be totally turned around in their views and become pro-Soviet. Do you think that therefore there is a greater effect of this mind manipulation in Soviet territory at closer range?
You're getting this with the businessmen. These top businessmen go to the Soviet Union and they come back. Dwayne Andrews is a very good example. He's chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. They come back from the Soviet Union, and they may as well be reading a translation of Parker when they come back. It's the straight party line, right the way down. Now, they weren't always like that. But you do get this phenomenon, not so much with diplomats, but you certainly get it with businessmen. They go there, they wind and dine. I suspect they get this psychological manipulation. And they come back. And then they parrot the party line. When you challenge them, they become confused and hostile.
That's a real telltale sign, isn't it?
Real telltale sign.
The hostility is a front because there's no reason behind it. It's a bluster.
It's a bluster. And I've seen that at first hand. They become very antagonistic.
I've seen it too.
Yes. Which is weakness. There's nothing behind it. They're confused themselves why they're saying this and why.
Now, that's Anthony Sutton about 20-some years ago, 20, 30 years ago almost. Talking about the same thing. And current, we have Regina, who's former DARPA director on research into beast technology. She says this, right from her own mouth. She's a DARPA director on research into the beast technology. Can't get more clear than this. It's no longer a Verichip. It's digital tattoo. They've advanced it. It's in the healthcare bill. Regina Dugan, former director of DARPA, executive at Google, describes about the coming technology. It's FDA approved. Ingestible biochips.
Well, we're thinking of a whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them. But you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like, one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company, and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right?
Sure. Because
they would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte, and they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true.
Okay, but
Okay, so wait. So it's really true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away. But it
but
sounds
is it,
like...
Is it, this is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill is actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart
nothing
beat change? Does your
we can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical
application. Yeah.
The medical application.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because, let's face it,
here,
we like you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take that pill right now.
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one of these?
It's optional. So we,
optional.
So we actually have demoed this working and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
Now, don't that give you warm fuzzies? The Sydney Morning Herald, on 21 March 1983, published an article by Dr. Nassim Abil El-Aziz Nulegi, assistant professor in the Faculty of Agriculture, Moshtahar Tukalubia, Egypt, and stated, quote, Russian satellites controlled by advanced computers can send voices in one's own language, interweaving the natural thoughts to be the population of choice, to form diffused artificial thought. The chemistry and electricity of the human brain can be manipulated by satellite, and even suicide can be induced through ferocious anti-human humanitarian needs, means. The extremist groups are fabricated. The troubles or bloody disturbances are instigated by advanced telemines via Russia's satellites in many countries in Asia, Africa, Europe, and Latin America. Unquote. So another source says, I quote, that these have been fed with the world's languages. Synthetic telepathy will reach in people's heads, making people believe God is speaking to them personally to enact the second coming, complete with the hologram. The Russians broke the genetic code of the human brain. They worked out 23 EEG brain wave links, 11 which were totally independent. So if you can manipulate 11, you can do anything. So, Benjamin Krem is saying that Maitreya, their so-called false prophet, Sanand Emanuel, in disclosure, will talk in everybody's heads. How many Christians even have a clue about what we're talking about this afternoon? And when they hear this, oh, Mom, Pa, Kittle, and now in Alabama, or Florida, or Georgia, or wherever, North Carolina, Mount Airy even, starts hearing voices in their head, and they see these holograms of UFOs, which they have, to look up barium strontium niobate sprayed in the air through the chemtrails, link it up with an army project called 3D holographic imagery. You'll find out how they do it. This is old technology. I thought somebody might be interested in knowing that and knowing why your veteran suicide rate's 26 per day and not from post-traumatic stress, not from not having some kind of nose spray that's going to be anti-suicidal, or not some psychiatrist that's going to say, well, you need to go to AA or some silly nonsense like that, which doesn't work. Or we need to give him some drugs here to calm him down. And your child, too. So we give your husband or wife, whichever, these drugs. And your kids. Look, it's all over the place. I got this for your kid, too. We'll just to give it to all of you. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. This is strange and weird. I got to get out of here. They can run from it. If they don't know the truth, they're going to be enveloped by it. How do you get across to people? What's it going to take? How in the world did desert Bedouins, back in the days of Noah, back in the days of Moses and Jeremiah and Daniel, how did they figure this out? How did they know that it's even possible? How did John of Patmos, how did he write in a prison that didn't have internet? How did he write, and the Lord God had given him insight, because John of Patmos, that prison, between 70 and 90 A.D., he wrote, as documented, as you find in the Bible, Revelation 13, 16 and 17, and he causes all, both great and small, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's the wisdom. Let him hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, his number is 666. And those that have that mark, for God it's death. Separation from him forever. You know, how far back does this go? Well, it was way back, further than Miss Dugan said there. '73 is a paper came out called Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. According to the Department of Health and Education Welfare, the thesis of it was rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. So what they did for a test group of prisoners that were homosexual identified as, they implanted by surgery a miniaturized radio transmitter implanted inside the brain or body would monitor and transmit their conversations, locations, sexual response of the subject 24 hours a day. And this report explains, which I have a copy of it, that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with the transponder, will be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. And the device would deliver punishment, to the offender anywhere in the world. So when they got a sexual response, you might say, it'd show up on the computer, designate, and then hit the button, and you wouldn't have that sexual response anymore. Anyway, you can imagine having your own taser implanted in your body. That's 1973. Professor Ralph K. Schwetzbel of Harvard University, of course, he talked about dwelling on homosexuals as a test subject. But later, when you read the monograph, he talks about offenders' financial matters, financial obligations, disputes of, or socially troublesome persons. And this paper in 1973 predicted micro-miniaturization, permitting near-permanent intracranial stimulation, or the new program related to civil rather than criminal situations. So that way it got through the cruel and unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment. Didn't present any serious obstacle to implement the plan. So a euphemism of castration is sterilization. There's even a National Security Agency computer expert there that, in that report, proposed attaching miniature tracking devices to 20 million Americans. So the transponder, veterans, militia, in 1973, would transmit the wearer's location by radio to a computer and could be used for arrests following riots or confrontations or Tea Party meetings or whatever. You got it? Oath Keepers meetings? You're definitely infiltrated. You're definitely infiltrated, no doubt about it. It was also mentioned about monitoring aliens and political subgroups. Oh, there you go. Dr. Robert and Ralph Schwetzebel, twin brothers, twin evil brothers. Include Barton Ingraham and Dr. Jose Delgado, Physical Control of the Mind, 1973-1980s. How about that? I've encompassed quite a bit today. A lot of stuff I talked about. With testimony. Actually. And there's so much that I can't include all of it. I wish I could, but I can't. Now, the mark of the beast is mentioned. This, you, now you know the technology. And the voice of the skull, when the one called Maitreya, when he shows up worldwide, what's going to happen? So now, you would think that all the preachers would already have this knowledge, right? They'd be telling us about it, warning us about it. Well, that's not the case. The case of the matter is, they're actually going to join in on it. And convincing people that they're to take it. Isn't that a switch?
Story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Top of it. I've got a surprise for you.
Jimmy DeYoung and John MacArthur.
Do you remember when you talked about the, someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing. You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night, listening to
Q&A
from a few years ago, where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this so probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 666. Always six is never seven. So the number of a man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And those numbers, the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead, and you go through a scanner, and, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. Yeah. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many that can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life. Well, especially when the 144,000 don't start their ministry till the second half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That make it a little tough.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Dr. DeYoung.
Well, we're looking at the same book. You know, that's what's so interesting, and that's what we were saying. I mean, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin. You've got to be. I've never thought that what he said there was very interesting. The fact is, if nobody gets saved in the last 3.5 years because they have received that mark, where's that unbelievable number of Jews that come to know Christ that are living, that actually go into the millennial kingdom in natural bodies? That's good that Brother John is looking at the same book that I am, and we came up with the same answers.
Well, it is, and that was very interesting because you remember that was really, really controversial. I'm not so sure you've ever made a statement on our program before that was as controversial as that one. And I got so many emails on it, and then I was walking the dog the other night listening to this Q&A, and I thought, oh, I've got to play this on the air. This will be a great surprise for Dr. DeYoung. So there
you go. It is a pleasant surprise, and the dear brothers and sisters who disagreed, you know, I don't quite know where they were coming from. I don't need to know that. But just now, with that confirmation from another Bible teacher, and he's a great Bible teacher. I'm just a beginner, but
No, I wouldn't say that, but go on.
It's great to see that, and the confirmation of both of us believing that same thing. I wonder how many more emails you're going to get now.
Oh, well.
You got two guys on your side that are pretty good, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, we both love you and love what you're doing and have the opportunity to interact on your program.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Thank you. Oh, well.
Well, let's see what they're talking about here. Huh. Revelation 14:9. Interesting. And the third angel followed him, then saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. I don't know what book they're reading, but my book don't say that's a good thing to do. Well, how about this one? How about Revelation 16:2? And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was noisome and grievous sores upon men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So what Bible are they reading now? I don't know what they're reading. It's not the King James Bible by no stretched imagination. So what one are they talking about? You see what they're doing? Billy Graham's no different. He says you don't have to know the name of Jesus, but just that the Christ is Maitreya. Jesus Christ is Jesus of Nazareth. Uh-oh. So they're all coming out. I mean, they're their own words. Family, get right with God, because you can't trust the church anymore. You alone. You with Jesus Christ, you're not alone. Holy Spirit's there with you. It's going to get tough when the time comes. I'm going to continue on tomorrow. This will be part two tomorrow about the mark and the scientists claim that microchip implants will become not optional. I got another about 20 minutes to talk about that tomorrow, part two at the beginning. Family, I hope that I've putting out enough evidence. I've got tons and tons more, actually. Today was just limited, 2 hours. I could give you another 2 hours, honestly could. I got studies, I got quotes, dates, names. What's it going to take to get people, get the veterans' attention? Get the veterans' attention. To wake them up. I don't know. They're all going to take the country back. It's impossible. They're going about the wrong way. If only people could talk to them. Anyway, family, we come to the end of the program. Remind you about John Kirkler. He is has highpointradio.net, plays our broadcasts and our Bible studies. Also, we have website, watchmenforjesus.com, Watchmen for Jesus, and a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. And family, tonight, Bible study, I'm going to talk about the end times to clear up some misconceptions, horrifying ones, actually, about the seals, trumpets, and so forth, and what people are talking about now. I've got my website, Facebook hit with a bunch of these unbelievably horrific false identification for the trumpets and the seals and so forth. This is today and yesterday. This is not old. This is new. And these people are bound determined to mislead people about what the seals, trumpets, and the vials are really for, because they're still coming. They haven't even started yet. Family, when it hits, it's going to hit hard. You all be ready. And they're going to use technology. I'll talk about how that interfaces with the demonic realm tomorrow. I got a whole lot to talk about that. And it'll just be part two tomorrow. So family, understand through Jesus Christ, you are in control. But it's going to get tough. There's going to be persecution. Family, there's going to be martyrs. There's going to be persecution. Get right with God. And let's spread the word. Family, the time's coming. It's time for watchmen to come out. It's time for you to come out. So y'all have a good night now. God bless y'all. This is a watchman, signing off.
The air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.